Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Tori, only on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome back to the show. Today is Thursday, January 5th. We're back with you. Tori's still out until next week. And I'm joined once again by Leah Pelka. Hi, Leah.
Hi, Samski. Good morning.
I always love when you come here because you're so bright and happy all the time.
Aww.
And that's a good thing, right?
Thanks, Samski. Yeah, I just thought about this morning on the way in. I was like, getting up in the morning and driving here is probably like my favorite thing.
Really?
It's like my favorite way to
we'll
wake up.
So we'll invite you a lot then.
I can't even. No, it's like my favorite way to wake up. I'm like, I know Samski's going to be amazing today.
Thank you, Leah.
You're welcome.
But no, it's fun. That's why I made it like what I do is like I get up in the morning and do radio, you know.
Follow your passion, like we talked about yesterday.
Exactly, you know, and that's, we're going to talk a lot about that too, about making our lives better today with our special guest. And we'll bring him in just a minute. A few things to discuss. Leah, how's everything going? You're going to be back with Josh to talk about your guys' new app or whatever
I
you want to call it.
Well, it's not called an app. It's called a bot.
Well, it's a bot, but people don't know what bots are. And those are really
right.
just small programs, right?
We're going to come talk about it.
Right.
Right. Because it is interesting. It is new. And it's one of those things where it's like it's going to replace... It's going to make the apps and websites obsolete. So at some point, you're going to have to learn about it. You have to understand that this is going to be like how antiquated the house phone is now. Like, who has one of those?
Yeah.
Like, nobody anymore.
Wow, sounds exciting, Leah. Well, I'm looking forward to that. So we'll have you back soon, and we'll talk all about it and stuff.
Excited, too. What's going on with you,
Samski? Good. Not much going on, really. I mean, we're just doing what we always do best, and that is be on the radio. I did want to bring up a couple things, though, Leah. Did you see this Chicago torture video?
I heard about it, that someone live streamed it, and this person was disabled.
Disabled, a special needs person.
Yeah.
And a white kid, I don't know if he's a kid. He looks like, maybe not a kid, but a man, they're saying. A white man, two young women and two men, mm-hmm. 18 years old, black, were slashing his shirt with a knife, shouting abuse, and all that kind of stuff, you know, F white people, F Donald Trump, things like this. I mean, but you watch this, you know, he's gagged, his mouth is mm-hmm. You know, and he's tied up and stuff, you know, bound
right.
in plastic.
What happens on both sides is terrible, and this is
I don't know what the hell's going on, but you know what? This is like, we really don't need this. I mean, you watch this and you go, how can anybody do something like this?
Well, that's what I was just saying. Both sides are terrible, because here's the thing: it's what's really sad is these people are so angry they're going this far. Like, look at humanity. Look at how angry they are.
Right. Yeah.
And you know, it's sad to say that they would go this far over how upset they are over something like this, because I see how terrible this one side is, where this poor this kid did not deserve that,
right?
But you also have to say, what pushes a person to go do something like that? Because you know, most people are not wired that way,
right?
So it's really scary what's happening in the world and how people are reacting on both sides. And I'd like to say, it wouldn't matter to me if it was white or black or Japanese and someone who was Jewish. I think that everyone has to think about each other right now. We all have to figure out, because this is what's happened.
Right.
We can't take it back. We've tried to all talk about it. We've gone back. There's nothing we can do. So coming together and finding our similarities versus our differences and taking out our anger, it's not going to do anything to fix the problem.
Right. But you know what? I mean, you're being idealistic and everything. I mean, things just don't work out
that way. I'm a female. What
do
you want from me, Sam?
Well, no. I mean, no. It would be nice to have a utopia, but it just doesn't. It isn't going to happen, you know. But but the thing that puzzles me about this is people are asking, is this a hate crime? And I'm saying, duh. I mean, it's not a love crime, you know.
Right.
So I don't know what's going on, but But yeah, I just had to bring this up because if somebody hasn't seen it, you know what? Don't see it. You know, you read about it, but it stays in your mind, you know, and in your head.
It does. It's really upsetting. It's super upsetting. It's super upsetting to see anything like that on any race happen. And again, not being idealistic, it's just one of those things where it's like, I see people and I see people have a lot of problems, but I see that those problems can be understood if we can figure out our common areas, you know, to begin with.
It's just sad. Right. But you know what? I think sometimes people are also quick to blame society or whatever. And, you know, we got to look at people's character, too. You know, I mean, the
character
thing
is
that,
that's
what I'm saying. I mean, it's not, I don't think it's necessary because of the race or their beliefs or anything. It's just that they have a terrible character, no moral values. And that's what they do. They go and they hit people. I mean, how brave do you have to be to hit a disabled person with four people that overpower him? Go one-on-one with him and see.
I mean, you know, it's one of those things where you're absolutely 100% right.
Yeah,
100%,
it's terrible.
Right. It's totally unnecessary.
Yeah. Anyway, okay, so we'll move to better things. You know what? They're saying the best jobs in America today. You know what the number one is? And it's funny, we talked about this, kind of ironic, but a mobile app developer is the number one job in America today. The median pay is $97,000.
Well,
top pay,
$133,000.
10-year job growth, 19%. So, and look what's interesting, though, is they give it like ratings, quality of life ratings.
Mm-hmm.
And personal satisfaction, they get an A. Okay, I get that. Benefit to society, a C.
An app developer doesn't.
I don't know. Some of the apps maybe are pretty good, because here's the thing.
I think people use apps so frequently right now, and you see people always with their head down on their phones. So how are you going to tell me that we have a C? Now it may be a C because someone has, you know, they misuse apps, or there are apps out there that definitely don't help people.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Sure. Okay. Well, that's like the internet. The internet can be used for good or bad. I mean, there's always going to be a little Jesus and a little devil and something. So if you want to use it the right way, use it the right way. But don't get mad because.
Yeah.
I feel like that's just somebody being mad.
Yeah, who knows? Telecommuting gets an A for that because you can work at home doing development.
Sure can. You see why I like this job now,
It
Sam?
Says low stress, it gives it an A. I mean, how can it be low stress? They have such tight deadlines, you know?
No. Listen, as somebody who is in something exactly like this, I am working for the best person that I've ever met in my entire life. We have the best time together. We'll be like, you ready to go to Denny's? And we can take our computer with us to Denny's. I mean, we'll be going shopping.
It's a little stress for you.
It's amazing. Oh, yeah. It's so amazing. And it's so fun because we get to play and try things differently. And we're working with celebrities. And this is the most amazing experience of my life. And I get to work from home. If I don't feel good, I can still work and make money.
That's true. Okay, so that's what you got to do, man. You're going to be a nerd, the mobile app developer. There you go. Why not, right?
She wants to be a boss lady,
You know, my son just posted on his Facebook, he just submitted an essay, a 4,000-word essay.
Yeah.
He takes, he's majoring in biochemistry, right? Got an A on that essay
on
stem cell research.
You go, baby.
I mean, I couldn't even understand the title,
you know? You go, baby Sam.
I'm telling you, it's like I have such a nerd for a son, but that's great.
Oh, my God.
You know,
what? The thing is recently I was looking at Abigail because I was at home, and I said the same thing. I was like, she's so nerdy. Like, I have to accept that as well about my daughter. Like, I love her, but she, like, wanted, like, a geologist kit for Christmas from
but
Santa.
But it's cool,
and, like, a
you know? Isn't it cool,
I was
though?
Like, really? You nerd? Like, don't you want a Barbie doll or something? Like, her sister's like, forget all that. Like, I want the sticker set. You know what I mean? But, like, my daughter was just like, I want science kits.
Well, that's
can I have a telescope?
Well, let her be who she wants to be.
Oh, I love
it.
I think it's precious. I did all of it. What do you mean? I love my nerd. But, like, I just thought it was the cutest thing ever. I was like, I have to love my child that's a nerd.
Absolutely. You
she's
know, we
so
don't,
cute.
We don't want to put them in boxes. That's
no,
the thing.
I mean, let her be
we're
nerdy.
Tempted. You know, my daughter, we put her in, like, headbands and Barbies and everything. She'd still turn out to be a tomboy.
Well, here's the thing.
So it doesn't matter.
Here's the thing. I didn't know that I had an inner nerd because as soon as the geology kit came out, I was pretty excited. We got an excavation kit.
Yeah,
we're
right?
both looking for dinosaurs. I'm like, this is pretty cool.
That's
like,
cool. I love those
She makes
things.
Me nerdy. So it's like once you do embrace that part of your child, they bring out a new side in you, and it's amazing. So it's like I love that side of her, but it's so cute, though.
Wow. All right, so a couple more things real quick that I thought was important is Sears is shutting down 150 stores.
Yikes.
You know, they own Kmart, too. So 109 Kmarts and 41 Sears stores are going to be closed. They're not saying how many jobs are going to be affected. But, you know, apparently also Macy's and Kohl's have been seeing drops of stuff.
Do you know who I blame? Or do you know who I think is to blame?
Everybody knows,
Target.
Right? Target?
I believe.
What about Amazon?
Because here's the thing. Target, that's a good one, too.
Is Target doing well?
Well, I'm saying that, like, look, there used to be, like, Walmart, Kmart. Now
right.
Now it's Target, Walmart. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I feel like
it kind of came out and took over and made a higher class. And now Walmart people, you know what I mean, moved. Kmart people moved to Walmart, and then Walmart people moved to Target. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like that always happens. There's an evolution.
It does.
But you're right. Amazon Prime be
but
my
I think
best
you're
friend.
Right, because I think Target's a pretty busy store, right?
Oh, yeah.
I know
and
everybody
they have everything,
goes to
like the same types of clothes Kohl's carries. It's like, right. Why would I go to both places when I can just make one-stop shop?
That's true, yeah. But it just goes to show you that retail is continuing its decline. And it's sad, you know, because already we've lost bookstores, record stores, you know, toy stores. I mean, everything is like online. But when you go to the mall, there's nothing to see. Only
it's
clothes,
true.
You know.
But see, you know what? Like, I am contributing to that, though. I have to be honest with you. I'm sorry.
Oh,
like,
we all
like,
are.
I just really
I buy
hate
everything
going
on
to
Amazon,
the mall. Like,
you know?
I know. It's,
it's
so
cheaper.
Easy.
You
like,
get a bigger selection. You
what
can
do
find
you mean?
Anything you want.
I am Santa Claus right. on fleek on Amazon. I don't miss. Like, I find that toy. I don't care. And it gets sent by December
right.
23rd. What do you mean? Like, right. I don't like, I wouldn't trade that for anything. Going to the mall and standing in line for what? I can sit there and eat pizza and press click and send. It'll be there and they'll even wrap it for me. What?
Yeah.
How am I going to argue with that?
There you go.
You know? So,
well, you
brick
know.
Brick and mortar, bye-bye.
Yeah. So if you guys buy at Amazon, don't complain. I'm one of the guilty ones.
Oh, yeah.
But,
I can't say anything.
But how can you justify buying anywhere? I don't know. I really don't know. All right, well, that's it for all the garbage of today. We're going to be joined by our guest now, Dr. Sam Alibrando. Welcome to the show, sir.
It's great to be here.
Thank you for joining us.
You guys are having too much fun.
We're having too much
do.
Fun, so we figured we'd bring you
we
into the conversation.
We
want to
bring you in and do the
same
thing.
It was
very
hard. Be a little polite, right? He's eager to talk, apparently a person who has a lot to say. Thank you for joining us.
It's great to be here.
You're a doctor of what, really?
Psychology.
Doctor of psychology. So this is something, that's what you do.
Yes. I'm one of those people. I do both clinical, so I see clients, right?
Okay.
But I also do organizational. So I also work with companies and organizations, helping them with their leadership, emotional intelligence, team building. So,
so companies invest in that, so their workers will be more.
More and more they're doing that because they're starting to see that there's a real true return on investment. Most of the problems that companies face often are the how the people getting along with each other and getting in the way of each other and such. So the getting people in the right place, hiring the right people, all those issues, the people stuff, is what really makes organizations work.
Wow, very cool. And you work with individuals too?
Yes.
I see. How long
right
have you been
in,
doing
in Pasadena,
this?
Yeah.
Really? And we'll talk about that and everything. Yeah. How long have you been in psychology now?
Oh, gosh. I don't want to date myself.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
So decades, right?
I wrote my doctoral thesis on one of the first Macs. Let me just put it that
wow.
way.
Wow. So we're talking early 80s is when you wrote
yeah,
it.
Yeah, well, don't say
yeah.
that.
Well, I know.
Now you're meddling.
It's okay. He looks like a young man to me. You look like you still have a lot of energy.
I got
in you.
Energy.
A lot of life. In you. And that's the important thing. You know, I worry about my age sometimes. You know, I mean, I'm hitting 56, 57. And I'm starting to think, you know what? You know, the guy was taking picture, like video of us behind us yesterday and stuff.
Uh-huh.
I'm looking at the back of my head. I'm like, man, you're just an old man. You know, that's how I feel when I look at me, you know. But when I look
then
in the mirror
look.
And stuff, exactly, right? Don't look behind.
That's
behind
the thing
your,
is, like,
your
but
head.
But look, that's a beautiful thing, though, Sam. You have to
no,
realize
I know.
That.
You have to really look at it, right? And
yeah,
because
I am
made
too.
Me realize.
Like, I just turned 31. I have two kids. Like, right. I was doing modeling for a living, so you know what I mean? But it's like, it's embracing those changes
you gotta embrace
and,
it, right?
and aging gracefully because you're still a good-looking guy.
Well, thank
you're
you.
Just, and older because you're young. And that's what's great about it.
I know, but I mean, I look at pictures of people my age. We posted some former friends from childhood. Posted a picture of them now, you know, in my hometown. And I'm going, God, they all look old. I mean, we were kids, you know. I saw them when I left them when I was 16 years old. Now we're 56, you know.
But on my age, Raphael, I can relate to that, too. I just saw one of my great friends from, like, middle school, and she's pregnant and has another little girl.
Wow.
And it's just, you know, when you see someone evolve, it's like, wow, there are changes that have been made.
That's true, yeah.
Like, that other transfer, that other stage of life they're going to, and it's like, wow, that's crazy. You know what I mean?
So yeah. And you say you just, hey, you have more experience. You're not really old, you know. You just have more experience. And it's a different stage in your life. I think we have to embrace the fact that we go through stages, you know. I mean, we're kids first, then we're adults, and then we're seniors, right?
That's right.
Yeah. So is there an area in psychology that you chose to focus on?
Well, my book is in the area of emotional intelligence.
Okay.
And so that's I have a passion about that, which is how to relate to ourselves and relate to others better.
Right. And I remember this term, wasn't it coined like in the 90s when that book came out?
It was in the mid-80s. The originally it came out of academia, so the people in MIT... Originally, intelligence was always seen as either being analytic skills, mm-hmm. like math, and verbal skills. And in the 80s, they began to see, no, we're more complex than that. And there's one saying, it's not how smart you are, it's how you are smart.
Okay.
I like it.
And so they came up with different areas of intelligence. Spatial intelligence, common sense. And one of the ones they came up with was what they called social intelligence and personal intelligence, and then they merged them into emotional intelligence.
Oh, wow. Very
which is how aware are you of yourself, how in control of yourself, how regulated you are, how well can you interact with other people and influence people, mm-hmm. and then also how well do you understand other people?
Like empathy? Like
empathy would be empathetic. One of the key elements of emotional intelligence.
Wow. And we'll analyze that more and everything later. You wrote the book, The Three Dimensions of Emotions, Finding the Balance of Power, Heart and Mindfulness in All Your Relationships. When did you write the book?
About 30 years ago.
30 years ago. And when was it published?
About 3 months ago.
Really? That's why I don't write books.
I've been thinking about this model since my first graduate program, my first master's. And I've been working on it. I wrote a book in between called Follow the Yellow Brick Road, How to Change for the Better When Life Gives You It Worse. And if we get to that, I'll tell you why. Because the model I put in that book... but I've been thinking about this model for 3 decades.
Wow.
Wow, that is impressive.
And I've been working with it, with clients, with businesses, and I wanted to write it down and get it down in a comprehensive way, and that's what this book is.
So this is a result of all the years of work that you've done and things like that. Okay, so, wow, I'm really curious about this and everything. So,
I am too.
You know, but that's why I want to build it up and everything. But so,
and it has great relevance, the first piece, the torture piece, which we'll get to hopefully.
Yes, yes, we'll get to that. I mean, that was like, it's... Did you see the video?
No, I didn't.
Yeah, it's heartbreaking, man. I
mean, hearing about it is enough for me.
Cowering in the corner, and you know, it's just like fear.
And that cruelty, right? How can human beings be so cruel?
Right. So maybe we'll find out by reading your book and everything and discussing this. So that's very interesting. Dr. Sam Alibrando sitting with us this morning. Where are you originally from? Did you grow up here in L.A.?
New Jersey.
New Jersey.
Hi, Jersey boy.
I see. Well,
Philadelphia.
Really?
Side. Yeah, New Jersey side of Philadelphia.
I see. What was your childhood like?
I grew up in an Italian-American family.
Oh, really?
And it was lower class, and it was very colloquial.
Was it difficult being lower class?
It's kind of sometimes you don't know what you don't know, right?
Exactly, as a child.
But there's always a feeling of in the other neighborhood, right? Down the street, the richer neighborhood with the bigger houses, and you were in the little houses.
Right? Yeah, so you realize something's going on, right?
I agree with that because he told me he was Italian, and my mom is Italian, and my mom grew up in that same type of environment.
Really?
And then we made a great deal of money through grocery stores like a lot of Italians did, right? And my mom moved us to Beverly, you know what I mean? She move this on up, right? But my mom was so ghetto, and I could tell between other people, because my mama was so ghetto, she'd be like, let me tell you something real. And I could tell there's a big difference between my mother and other people. And it wasn't that it meant to be, but I it's so true. So yeah, I think that you're right. My mom didn't know and doesn't know she has those tendencies. But yeah, it's true. I think
it,
so.
It gets burnt into the
fabric.
System.
Yeah.
Do you have any siblings? Did you grow up with
brothers, sisters? We had a very small family. I only had three siblings, so there were four of us.
That's a very small family for Italian.
I had 30 first cousins on each side.
Whoa.
So I had 60 first cousins.
Oh, my God. I could count mine on one or two hands, you know? I mean, God. So, but this is good. I mean, did you like big families?
I love it. Yeah. To this day, I like going to people's houses and just... Uh-huh. Sit down, and the whole event happens in the kitchen. Mm-hmm. Right. I love that. That it feels like home.
It's true. Everything is around the food, right?
Right.
And you know, when I started noticing that when I was watching The Sopranos, you know, almost scene is around food, you know. And I'm thinking it is true, you know, and especially Mediterranean culture.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, you'll see that with Greeks and Turks and everything else. But it's very interesting, you know, around the table that you mentioned that. And I think people communicate that way and stuff. So I think it's a nice thing. You know, I often think it's not cool that families don't eat together anymore. You know?
I feel like the reason I have really good sense of self is because I spend a lot of time with my family, mm-hmm. and I talk to them a lot. So
yeah,
we talked about a lot of vast things.
Right.
I mean, I wasn't afraid to speak in my home.
Right.
And people weren't afraid to tell me when I was wrong.
Yeah.
And so it kind of makes you really prepared well for the world. So I think that was a beautiful thing.
So let me talk about this with the model. Okay, so there's three. I call it three dimensions of relationship world, right? There's three dimensions of the physical world, height and width and depth.
Right.
And based on a lot of research I've done, if you want to learn about it, you can read the book. But you have to trust me. But there's, I call it the power dimension. This is the dimension that has to do with our own agency and how much we affect the world, our competition, winning, getting things done, protecting ourselves, right? Mm-hmm. That's the power dimension. Mm-hmm. I call that red. Three primary colors, right? Red, yellow, and blue. Mm-hmm. Well, the three primary ways we relate to others. And then the other is the heart dimension. And the heart dimension is the love dimension. It's the togetherness. It's the empathy. It's the caring for other people and also our own needs for other people. And then the final is called the knowing dimension or the mindfulness dimension.
Mm-hmm.
This is the part of us that moves away and can observe things. It's the scientific part. Now, what we were just talking about, family, that has a lot to do. Oh, the blue, the moving, the love, heart dimension, I give blue. And the other one I give yellow, the mindfulness dimension or the moving away dimension, I call that yellow.
Mm-hmm.
I like colors because people remember colors and you can blend the colors.
Primary, secondary, and tertiary.
There you go. You got it. But when we're talking about family, we're talking about blue. Blue is converging. You were saying earlier, why can't we all feel like we're one? Well, that's the blue part of us that wants to be one, that we're pack animals. We live together. We can't survive without each other, and we live in families, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And the more competitive part of us is the red dimension, and that's the divergent. It's us versus them. It's me versus you, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Part of us. And each one of the dimensions can be positive.
Right.
There's something really important about our determination and wanting to get things done. And there's something good about love and empathy. And there's something good about stepping back and having self-control.
Right.
But when you were talking back about the torture, that was red going bad.
Really?
That's red without the other two. That's the whole key
that's
here.
That's true. No balance there
There's
at
no
all.
Balance.
Right.
So they had no compassion for this kid and they had no self-control.
Right.
They had no blue and they had no yellow. They were all negative red.
I just have a hypothesis based on the things that you've said to me on what you're with the dimensions of people. I often wonder because I see my friends and I listen to their struggles. For some reason, my friends feel like they can talk to me about everything, and they usually do. And it's really nice to hear, and I don't mind it. But I learn a lot of their pain stems from when they're a child. And it's like they're adults parading. They're adults, but they're just parading as one because they're really inner children. And I feel like they, if they deal with those things, that redness tends to dull down some.
Nice, yes, very much
and
so.
And I feel like the empathy will increase some. But I feel like the more angry we see adults, it's just things. They've been angry for so long. They've learned that. And I feel like there's almost even like a chemical response in their brain too that would be, it's like their first response because, you know what I mean? I feel like we have control over those things if we really master ourselves, starting first with us.
Yes. I have a lot of the book has to do with managing difficult people. And my first three principles of managing a difficult person. The first principle in managing a difficult person is manage yourself first.
Right.
Yeah, the second principle is manage yourself first.
Right.
Anyone want to guess what the third is?
Well,
manage
let's see.
Yourself first.
I just feel like self-contrition and being honest with yourself about the terrible parts or the difficult parts or the painful parts or the things that people want to avoid. So they'll do other things to mask it, aiding in those red levels, and then it causes like those depression and problems that we see so often.
Now you're talking about my first book, which is the Wizard of Oz book, which the whole premise is that we don't grow as adults in Kansas, we only grow in Oz, and Oz is where we get tilted. So anytime we have a feeling or something, that's Oz. And most people, when they start to feel lonely or scared or empty or angry or whatever those emotions are, we often do something to get out of Oz. We try to get out of it. We'll drink. Mm-hmm. We'll smoke a joint. We'll work too much. We'll start a fight with our spouse. We'll do something to get rid of those feelings.
Right.
Instead of mindfully, there's the yellow. There's Scarecrow in this case, right? Because Scarecrow represents the yellow knowing. If we can go to that place where we can mindfully hold what we're feeling, not act it out, but just observe it, feel it, it's not going to kill you. I'll tell you, I tell people, I've never had anyone die from grief.
Right.
You feel it and you heal it.
Right.
But most of us don't do that. Most of us go into a reactive state. Yeah, and we're going to react in one of three ways. We're going to be in a fight mode where we're going to get in, do this kind of crazy stuff.
Right. Confrontation.
Or we're going to become doormats.
Right.
And acquiesce, which is the blue solution. Or we're going to detach, which is the unhealthy yellow.
Right.
Where you just kind of numb out and you go offline.
And see, I know myself as a person that I do all three of those just depending on what the stimulus is.
Exactly.
Is how I react to it. But I call mine the porcupine reflex, where it's like I just feel like I'm protecting myself. So sometimes those harsh things come out because it's my reflex to step away.
Yep.
So it's like I can even imagine that I mix the two of pushing some away while hurting them so that I know that I can step. Because, you know, it's one of those things where you're trying to heal yourself and lick your own wounds, and sometimes they're there making it worse.
Yep.
So, you know, no, I can totally, I love it.
And I want to just make a note of a couple of things you said. One is, because I keep telling people this is not a personality theory.
Right.
This is a behavioral description. It describes how we behaviorally move.
Right.
And I'm different with my wife than I am with an alpha male.
Absolutely.
I have a couple of good friends who are actors and are very powerful, and I kind of get almost acquiescing around them.
Right.
I go into the negative blue place. Mm. And with my wife, I'll go into another space. We'll be different with our kids than
Absolutely.
We will be with our boss.
Right.
If people are interested, there's on my website for the book, they could take a free assessment. I don't know if that's okay
that's
to say
awesome.
This.
That's well, why really, not?
It's interesting. Yeah,
the website.
Yeah.
Here's the website. The website's www, right? And then power-heart-mindfulness.com.
So that's perfect.
Power, just like the subtitle, power-heart-mindfulness.com.
We'll have to get that and post it with the picture as well that we put on our social media so they can get to it easier.
Yeah, that's cool. But so you get to take an assessment, this sort of thing.
And when you take the assessment, you have to specify it's regarding who, because we're going to be different in different situations.
That's true, absolutely. Now, when you talk about difficult people, what do you mean by difficult?
Ah, that's a great question.
I mean, it's a perspective thing, right? If he's not agreeable to me, he's difficult.
We're in the same page here,
right?
When I work with workshops and stuff, I'll ask people, is 50 degrees hot or cold? You tell me, is 50 degrees hot or cold?
It depends.
It depends.
Right.
If you're in Chicago in February, it's a heat wave.
Right.
And if you're in L.A. in July, it's cold. It's freezing, right?
Right.
What's a difficult person? A difficult person is anyone who makes me into a difficult person.
Exactly,
absolutely.
Right? Yeah.
Absolutely.
And you know, you were talking about anger and stuff. Anger, when you break it down, is when you're not happy that things are not going your way, right? That's what anger is. It's like... you know, this is happening in a certain way. I don't believe it should happen this way. I believe it should happen another way. And I think that's what leads to anger.
I work with, in a clinical setting, I work with people who have a really hard time with anger. They don't do the red very well. Mm. And because they don't do red very well, they're going to be detached, yellow, or they're going to be, kind of codependent
down,
blue,
yeah.
Or
right.
Green, if you may, right? And one of the things I do is said, I go, let's go back to the first time you ever were angry. And that was when you screamed after you were delivered.
Yeah, right.
And that's because we didn't like it. So that your statement is brilliant.
Thank you.
That our anger comes from things we don't like. And so for people who don't have a hard time with anger, I help them say, what do you like about that? And what don't you like about that?
Right.
And that begins to help them get in touch with
exactly.
What ends is really a necessary emotion. We need anger.
That's true, right?
No, it's so true. You have to have the yin and yang of life. Happiness and anger have to coexist because you wouldn't appreciate one without the other. But my thing is that I am somebody who doesn't deal well with the red. And I know that about myself. Like, I've dealt with that. And the reason is because I get angry immediately, and I grew up with an Italian mother, like I said.
And what was the other part of
it? Native American.
And?
So it's like, and Greek.
Greek. Well, you're doomed.
So I know that. So I'm the type of person that I found the best technique for me. The only thing that works is me walking away, moving past the anger, accepting what's happened, and then figuring out why it hurts me, and then going and communicating why it hurts me.
Okay. Can I now use my model to just... describe what you just said.
Sure. Yeah.
So you'll react in red.
Yes.
That's your knee jerk. That's your limbic. You know, limbic,
right.
The emotional brain reaction. Okay.
Right.
Red. So the beauty of the model is it's not what you're doing that's negative. It's what you're not doing that's positive.
I see.
What you just said, what you have to, the coping mechanism you learned, and it's a good one, is you learned how to go to scarecrow. You learned how to go into the yellow. You learned to go into the mindfulness.
Right.
You step back. You think, I just step back from the mic.
Yeah.
You step back, you think about it, you feel it, and then when you connect with it,
right.
You can go back in a regulated way and talk to them.
Because I just don't want to, the person I love, I don't want to yell at them and hurt them, and I know I'm capable of that. And I know I'm really, like, Linda Blair good at it. You know what I mean? Like, and I don't want to be that kind of person to a person that I love, because you can't take those things back, and you don't need to make a person worse, too, if you're struggling. And the thing is like, you know, for me, if I walk away and I can logically look at it and take the emotion out of it and then give that communication to that person, that's the best thing I can give to him. But I find that if I don't get that time and a person follows me and pushes me, I stay in the red. And then I begin to, once I do calm down and they think, oh, she's calmed down, it's great, it's wonderful. But no, then I begin to detach because I learn that behavior that's a pattern with them that they won't address it with me. They're going to make me feel bad about it. And I start to detach.
So when red doesn't work anymore, you go into yellow reaction, which is detaching.
If I don't get a chance to get to blue, then eventually that red stays there so long and there's so much built up that I have to just detach because it's not healthy for me.
Yep.
Right.
You know, yes.
I have to continue to grow as a person because I'm still not done yet.
Right.
And I don't want to go, I don't want to regress with someone. I want to progress with
unlike
someone.
Sam and I, we're both done.
let me ask you this though. How does it help us understand ourselves better when you put things into these dimensions? Into these colors,
we as in if what happens with your daughter, right? When they're let's say how old is your daughter?
I have two. I have a 5-year-old and a 6-year-old.
Okay, so your 5 or 6-year-old,
right?
Gets snubbed by one of the neighbor girls, and they call her a poopy head or something.
Mm-hmm.
And what do we do? As a parent, a good parent's going to go, oh, that's awful. I hate that when people say that.
No, I can't say that to her because I'm afraid that if I say that I hate that, then I lean down with her and I ask her how it makes her feel. I want to know what her feelings
are. But my whole point is that early on, we give our kids words for feelings.
That's true.
It's very interesting. At the age of 3 or 4, we learn how to control our bowels and we learn how to control our emotions at the same time.
Right. Wow.
That's when the brain is starting to get into a place where it can start to regulate itself. Wow. And one of the key ways we do that is by giving words. Words, when I can use a word, I can contain my emotions better.
Right.
Oh, I'm sad. Oh, okay, I'm mad. Oh, okay.
Right.
And what this model does is it gives us words to describe what we're doing. And then it becomes a roadmap. So you go, oh, I'm negative red. I'm reacting red.
Right.
Well, what I call working the triangle, you go, I either need to do some healthy yellow right now or some healthy blue or some combination of both. And when I do that, I will then bring myself in the balance, like you said.
Right.
That's what you described. You go into the yellow, you think about what you're feeling, you calm down, and then you can go back in a more balanced, integrated way.
And at that age right now, with having children that are at that age and what you're describing, I totally agree. Because what I do is my mom, what I didn't like was I felt like she told me how I felt a lot of times growing up. So what I do now is I ask them, because I know they know the words hate, sad, happy. I say, how does it make you feel? Because they're at the, six, 5 and 6 year old range. Yeah. I want them to express their feelings. Yeah. So that's
The tricky thing is they need us sometimes to label the word.
Right.
At least initially.
Right.
But we can do that awful thing that parents can do. We project. We think what we think, we project onto them, and then they get all. I like the idea of sometimes giving them a choice.
Right.
Is that making you feel sad or mad?
Mm. Oh, nice.
Yeah. Yeah, helping them understand the words and the meaning and so forth. That's pretty cool. Yeah.
Because I feel like the hardest part of parenting is teaching your child how to navigate this whole system you're talking about. It's because you want them to be emotionally intelligent when they get older.
The research is very clear. Emotionally intelligent people are the most successful people.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So our guest is Dr. Sam Elbrando. The book is The 3 Dimensions of Emotions. And you have a website. Give the website again.
Power.
It's not necessary to put the W's anymore.
I'll make life simpler
for you.
Very good.
Go ahead.
Power-heart-mindfulness.
Very easy.
.com.
And you're going to get all kinds of, you have an assessment there and get all kinds of information and stuff, which sounds really cool. I wanted to go back a little bit, though, to you. So what made you leave New Jersey? What got you out of there?
Grad school.
Where did you go?
I went to grad school. It was in near Chicago.
Uh-huh.
So I got to live in Chicago for 5 or 6 years.
Oh, I see. Did you like that?
It was a great city. It's a great city, and it's colder than a you-know-what.
Right.
A witch's you-know-what. For all my J.D. Salinger fans out there.
So we're complaining about nothing here,
oh,
right?
Oh, gosh.
It reaches 52. I'm like freezing.
So, yeah. And then I came out here for my doctorate.
I see. Okay.
And I ended up going to living in Pasadena because I did my internship. Fuller is a very, very world internationally renowned seminary, but they also have a school of psychology, and I ran their outpatient clinics for a while.
Wow, very interesting.
And that's how I got interested in organizational consulting.
And how did you get into psychology in the first place? What attracted you to it?
It was inevitable.
Really?
Yeah.
So you were just like into the mind, into behavior from
the
beginning.
I initially wanted to be a priest.
Really?
Until puberty.
Really? Yeah.
And that was the end of that.
That makes sense. I was like, really? Yeah.
So what are you going to do? I can't be a priest.
Exactly. I discovered girls. There you go. Wow. So Chicago, and then you moved here to do your master's or your
doctorate? My doctorate here.
Your doctorate here.
And then to Pasadena.
But why did you choose L.A. of all places?
Well, it's interesting because when I was in Chicago, I got accepted at Temple, which would have brought me back home.
Okay.
I got accepted at Northwestern, which would have kept me right where I was.
Right.
And I got accepted at this place called Rosemead. And it was go west, young man.
Really?
Yeah. There's an explorer in me. I think I have part gypsy in me.
That's okay. I think that everyone here does, which is what we all appreciate about one another.
And that really, I think, forms in
we
some
have
ways
a migration
this
pattern.
The culture here. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's really cool. And I love that people come from all over the place. You know,
I know.
Every corner of the world, people come here.
I've met so many ethnicities.
My daughter just moved from Portland back to L.A.
Uh-huh.
And Portland's like cool, right? Isn't that the place where you want to be when you're young?
Absolutely.
And she says, I love L.A. She goes, He goes, I see people who aren't white here. Everyone's really? White in Portland.
Yeah, it's
and
so
she's,
true.
I love the diversity
well,
here.
Yeah. No, it's true. And people bring different cultures and different ideas and different, right. you know, creativity.
Yeah.
I think it's great, you know. And when people wonder, where's the best place to live? I always say, well, look where everybody's moving to, you know?
Absolutely.
And this is where everybody's coming.
And what I love about LA is it has such a diverse, like, diverse communities, niche communities, because I love art. So it's like not only do I get to learn about new different people, but I get to learn about their art and their culture as well. So it's so beautiful because it's like you get an understanding and you get to taste the food, meet the people. It's like it's almost like living in little different portions of Europe sometimes.
Yeah, like it's you so get to cool. travel, you know?
Yeah, because there's a high population of Irish and Catholics and Italians and back home. Mm-hmm. And that, I mean, can you think of any
others? You mentioned art. I have a friend whose daughter is an artist, and she went to some of the best schools in Europe for art.
Oh, amazing.
And the vibe, the word is LA is the place now.
Really?
LA is the place for art. It's
I mean, really and truly it is. Like, those are the best events to go to. Like, those are the only time
they
show
up. Yeah. Why wouldn't it be? Because it's a city of creative people, right?
Absolutely.
I mean, yeah. So tell people how they can, if they want to, so how can a company benefit from your services? What would you do if you came in and you had a big company and they had, what is it? Why do they usually call you?
Right now, I'm using it one of two ways. I have a workshop on emotional intelligence for businesses.
Okay.
So they take the assessment for work in the context of work, and then I have them go through a whole day workshop on finding out where they need to work, what they need to work on, what dimension do they need to work on to bring themselves to the next level
right.
of emotional intelligence. So I have a off-the-shelf workshop.
I see.
And then I also use it for executive coaching in terms of as a way, along with other things. It's not the only model I use.
Right.
But I'll use it to help them see, okay, when your employee showed up late again, you just checked out. You
right.
moved away. You
right.
you dissociated.
Right.
What do you need to do instead? What red thing you may have to do, or maybe right. some blue thing you may have to do. You may have
right.
to be empathizing with their kid is sick or whatever, but
right.
helping them engage in
right,
that case.
Absolutely.
So I use it that way as well for executive coaching.
Sounds very good. I mean, the thing is that I can really see where a company would need to educate its people, because not everybody's into like self-help and all that, but
absolutely.
Bottom line is if the people function okay, then the company does well.
Study after study shows that.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. And I think the way that you speak is not very like Dr. Phil and ominous. You're very understanding. It's very easy to understand your model. I think people can relate to it. And I think that most people want to learn about themselves but don't know where to start.
Yep.
So it's like you're not a threatening person. So it feels very nice and easy to talk to you and speak with you. So I know that that really helps with the success rate of what you're doing.
You're very, very empathic.
Aw. You're also a Gemini. No, I'm just kidding.
So you have a consulting firm. Tell us a little bit about your company.
Well, I work with anything. I'm working with one company that I think has 5 employees, and I work with another company that's I think is the division. The company itself is about $8 billion, and the division I'm in is about a billion. So I the whole range, because people are people.
Right.
Right.
And industries, you need to learn about their industry, but but the people are still people.
Right, right.
And so we do work a lot with teams, executive teams, because most companies now are driven by teams.
Mm-hmm.
It's
right.
no longer the John Wayne, follow me, one leader, the Lee Iacocca.
Right.
It's more being run. And so the chief person is very often the facilitator of the team.
Right.
And teams are made up of people, and therefore you can run into problems if you don't understand each other and don't appreciate each other.
Absolutely.
It's the model. If you don't do the blue, where you understand and empathize and accept other people, and you don't do the red, where you can speak up for yourself, and you don't do the yellow, where you're measured and you're thoughtful. Right.
Right. Exactly.
So we work with teams and helping them be more efficient. And we'll go in and do assessments, cultural assessments or other types of assessments, because most people won't tell anybody else the troubles they're having except at the water cooler with their peers. But they don't usually talk about up. So we go in and we do extensive interviews of everyone.
Really?
And they'll
so they
talk
sit
to
in teams
us.
And they talk about the problems?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. And they'll talk to us people in a way that they won't talk to upline. They're not going to tell their boss that you don't treat me very well. But they'll tell me that the boss doesn't treat me. Exactly. And if five other people say the same thing, I can give that boss feedback. I go, you're going to be a lot more effective if you treat people better.
That's true,
Really,
so you come
though.
In as like the third party, and you're able to be to objectively look and see what's going
and
on.
And if they hired me as an employee, that would have end. That would end. I wouldn't.
If they hire you as an employee, they can just kill human resources entirely. You know what I mean? Like that. Think about that budget cut, guys. You know what I mean?
I don't feel like doing payroll.
Yeah,
but
I mean, no. They can just cut it because then they'll learn how to coexist as people, and they won't need them anymore. You know what I mean?
Wow. So, and what's the name of your company?
It's I call it APC. I actually work for myself, and I also work for another company in Beverly Hills, and that's called the Impact Group.
Okay.
And mine is APC.
APC.
Ali Brando Psychological Consulting.
Okay, and people can find more about that on your website right?
They
can contact you and stuff there.
Yep.
Are you on social media? Do you find a need to be on there?
Yeah, you know what? I am now a crazy Twitter guy.
Really?
Nice.
I'm up to 3,000 plus followers. Which
I will follow you today so you can have 3,001 plus followers.
And I'm still trying to learn Facebook. There's
nothing to learn about Facebook. Come on, you just post your stuff.
I got you. I got you. I got you a little bot we can talk about after this.
Oh, okay.
There you go.
Since
you
build those.
She's pushing a new product already, but that's cool, you know. So, but essentially is software, right? That's programmed. It's a computer
it's
program.
It's pre-programmed. Yeah, it's pre-programmed, but it's basically like putting an app and a website. It's interactive, and then we do these like interviews and questions. We do new videos. We can tell you about the latest feed that comes out from Instagram all in one place. You have to use none of your data. Right. None of your data. So you can delete all those apps and save 1,000 more pictures or selfies if you need to, which is super important these days.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
So is everything run in the cloud then?
So, no. And like, and the thing is it won't. No. It runs inside Messenger, your Facebook Messenger. So all you have to do is connect it to your page. Right. And then it's like a menu and it pops up and your people are interactive with it. And you can run analytics on it. You can get demographics off of it. So you can say if you have information for people that are struggling with maybe addiction, just hypothetically. Okay, then you can go.
It's one of my areas of expertise.
Yeah, absolutely. Then you can go through and the people who agreed and said that they did have problems with it because they're talking to a bot and they'll be honest.
Sure, exactly.
You can go through and blast out something to them that will be helpful. So it's one of those things where it's like it almost really helps you to do the work automated.
Yeah,
it's really
sounds
nice.
Sounds very cool. If you guys want to find out more about it, maybe we'll have you guys come in tomorrow. I don't know what's going on tomorrow with you, but maybe you guys come in tomorrow. And if you guys want to find out more about what Leah is doing as far as this this new product that she calls a bot, but so it'll be interesting. You can tune in tomorrow. We'll tentatively plan for tomorrow.
Okay,
we'll see whatever happens.
I would love it.
But Dr. Sam Ali Brando, final words. Is there anything else we didn't cover that you want to let us know about the three dimensions? The book, by the way, is The Three Dimensions of Emotions, and you can get it. Can they get it only on the website? Or do you have it?
Amazon and Barnes. Cool. And there are some retail stores that have it as well.
Yeah, nice. Except there's no retail stores left out there, right?
That is a real.
We just talked about that earlier, didn't we?
Yeah. It's terrible, you know. And the thing is that you just go out there. You want to go to a bookstore? There's no bookstore.
Well, you know,
there's
they have the Kindle for
left.
That, so it's like the Nook like that. So
but you know what? It's not the same.
I love turning pages and like dogging them
and being
having
able
them
to put it
reference.
On your shelf when you're done.
Right.
I
and
mean,
for
my,
reference.
My bookshelves are full and full of books. What am I going to do with a Kindle, right? And that's one thing.
On the other side, though,
yes.
In my little thing over here,
you can
carry my whole library in there.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
there
I
you
have
go.
One, but I
so
also.
So each one has its uses.
Right.
You know?
Exactly.
There you go. But if you want a book to sit back and enjoy, I think a real book is still there.
Like
you
a
know?
Fireplace kind of situation.
I hope so.
Right. Yeah. So that's why when I go to a retail bookstore, I still try to buy and buy something there so they'll stay alive.
Well, I have a rule. Yeah. I read
Even
it first.
Even though I get from Amazon.
Yeah. I read on my Nook first. If I love the book, like The Count of Monte Cristo is one of my favorites, so I keep the classics. Uh-huh. But like, I'll buy it then. Because then I'll rebuy it saying, I co-signed to this and I really believe in this and I want to put it in my shelf. It's
That's
so amazing.
True. Yeah,
I
want
to
visually
have it. If I have a friend who's struggling, I can pass it on. That's just that Native
That's
American
true. So you
in
can
me.
Do both. Who
right,
cares, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a use for everything.
It's a sample first.
Yeah, there you go. Also, you do personal stuff. I mean, if people want to come learn the model one-on-one, do you do that as well?
Yeah, I do coaching.
Yeah?
It depends on the context. There may be more clinical or it may be more life coaching and certainly business coaching.
So. Sounds very good.
And another thing, in terms of having things in people's hands, if they go to the same website, there's a graphic I call the relationship circle. And it's a really nice graphic showing the positives of all three and the negatives of all three.
I see.
And they can kind of use it to say, oh, yeah, I'm really being read right now. And then you look at the positive, should I be
doing
this?
Right. See, that would be good if you have like a visual representation of it.
It helps.
To see the different
extremes. That's why I call it a roadmap. It's like it kind of tells you where you can go.
That's true, yeah. Like to see the extremes on each dimension.
So do we have a second?
Yeah.
So my wife has... is upset about something. I can't tell you that.
He's sorry. He's sorry. I promise.
And my first reaction is to be defensive.
Right.
As a male, I go into my red and my, I call it orange.
Right.
Right. And what's missing? When I go into orange, what's missing? Blue. Empathy. Listening. And I'm starting to learn to listen to what she's feeling, reflect her feelings back. She feels understood, and the whole thing changes.
Exactly.
But my reaction is always to be defensive. I'm a male.
Right?
Yeah,
absolutely.
There you go. So I think I learned a lot today. So thank
so
you for
much.
Coming in, Dr. Sam. And everybody go get the book, the website one more time. Go ahead. I don't
Power. No WW. Power-heart-mindfulness.
There you go. And you guys can't go wrong with that. Leah, thank you so much.
Thanks for having me,
Sam.
For
joining me, of course. And Sam, all the best to you.
Thank you.
We wish you a lot of success. Any more books in you, do you think?
Not if I want to stay married.
Are you sitting on any that, like, since you're sitting on that one for 30 years, are you sitting on any that
I'm actually sitting on a couple.
Okay, so it's fair. So maybe so then.
I like to write... the three dimensions for parenting, the three dimensions for leadership. I would love to do that.
And it's like chicken soup for the soul, but like three dimensionally.
Exactly.
Yeah. Nice.
Sounds good. If you can find the time, go ahead and do it.
Yeah.
All right, everybody. Thank you all for listening, and we'll see you tomorrow.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Tori, only on LA Talk Radio.